Welcome to the Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar, live from Twin Peaks. I understand we may have had a little audio quality issue. I hope that we have it cleared up. We'll see how it goes from here. So hopefully people are hearing me fine now. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. That is the number by which you can join the conversation. Any other thoughts, John, on the big game, on the championship game?
I would say for a two-hour breakdown, I think we covered just about everything.
Well, it's really been 3 hours.
Well, three hours at this point now, yeah.
I think, you know, we've covered a lot of the matchups. I think a lot of the relative strengths and weaknesses. What I believe will be the plan of attack for each football team. What the concerns are. Where the Waldos are. Because, again, I think that's going to be a big element of this game. Where perhaps the tendency breaks could come. You know, I think we've covered virtually every element of it. So you want to get in and comment on it, you're welcome to do so. Chris from Captured writes, on my way to my son's basketball game, who would you say will be the best player on the field? Watson was in 2017. I think under normal circumstances, the best player in the field would be Tua Tagovailoa, because I think he's clearly the best player. But he's not healthy, so it's not a normal circumstance. So I'm not sure that it will be him. I think it could still be him if Clemson isn't able to do the things that I'm suggesting to try and derail him. Other than that, I think Williams, the Alabama nose guard, is the best player on the field. I mean, he's an unblockable force. I mean, but as I indicated, I think he could be subject to fatigue as the game gets into its late stages. Because, again, he constantly faces double teams. And I don't know what his snap count has been all year, but my feeling is he's now being subjected to a higher snap count as these games become more meaningful. Again, there were other elements in his OU game fatigue, because this is something we talked about earlier. The heat, the humidity, the having to chase Kyler Murray. There were other elements of his fatigue, and it's hard to know from a percentage standpoint, you know, what impacted him the most. All I know is that as the game went on, he really fatigued to a point where his impact was totally negated. He no longer could function towards the end of that game. So there's that. That'd be my answer. I mean, I think he's the best player on the field, given that Tua is less than whole. In terms of what it will take for Clemson to win, it might take that Trevor Lawrence is Clemson's best player. I mean, these games tend to be quarterback games. Deshaun Watson won because he was the best player on the field. And look, that's not just true here collegiately, but it's also true in the NFL level. We have a bunch of really interesting wild card games this weekend, the best wild card weekend on paper that we've ever seen. And I think a reasonable person going into those games would discuss the quarterback play as being perhaps a decisive factor. So, you know, I think the same is true here. I think for Clemson to win, Trevor Lawrence is going to have to play well. I mean, he's going to have to play very well. I mean, look, this is what this was all about. You know, the manipulating of the quarterback position, the utilizing Kelly Bryant in the way that Clemson did early to help get them to where Trevor Lawrence could take over full time. This is what it's about. It was about this. It was about all this was with this in mind, with the end game Alabama in mind. The notion was always, it was always the staff's belief, it seems clear, that they believed they needed Trevor Lawrence to beat Alabama. Well, that's where we are. We're at Trevor Lawrence's Clemson versus Alabama. That's what all this was for. All this was about. You know, it wasn't about whether you could get there. It was about whether you could win it and what it would take to win it and the belief that it would take Trevor Lawrence to win it. We're here. Monday night, we're going to find out if the staff was correct in that belief. And I think there's a good chance they're going to be proven correct. That Trevor Lawrence was the missing piece, that he will be what is necessary to activate the Clemson wide receiver talent against what I believe is a suspect Alabama back end. I've said this all year. I believe that Alabama is not great on the back end of that defense. I think they have issues. They lost 120 starts in their nickel. There's no Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think that they've looked chaotic at times. I thought against Mississippi State, a team that cannot throw a forward pass, I thought they had numerous coverage busts in that game, including consecutive coverage busts on red zone plays. That is not the Alabama I'm accustomed to seeing on the back end. I warned that Jake Fromm would hurt them. He did. He threw for 300 yards on them. It's the only game Fromm threw for 300 yards all game. And I'm sorry, Fromm is not a highly, in my mind, a top NFL draft prospect. He's a round four beyond guy. He's not this round one guy he's being portrayed as. Trevor Lawrence is a future round one talent, a high round one talent. That is not what Jake Fromm is, and yet Jake Fromm was able to throw for 300 yards against Alabama. And I think the fact that Jake Fromm could throw for 300 yards against Alabama proves how susceptible they are. The fact is, Alabama has not exactly faced. Look, I'm not getting into who they've beaten, and I'm not into the schedule comparison stuff. I don't care about any of that. That has zero to do with this football game. But Alabama has not faced many sophisticated passing game offenses. They just haven't. They've not faced many teams with the weapons that Clemson has on the outside, combined with the talent level that Clemson has at quarterback. They just have not. You know, they faced a bunch of teams built like Mississippi State and LSU, teams that haven't had effective quarterback play, and were never going to threaten Alabama. Alabama's weakness, let me be clear about this. Alabama's weakness cannot be exposed by the likes of Mississippi State, right, and Nick Fitzgerald, or the likes of LSU and Joe Burrow, particularly at the time at which Alabama played LSU. For Alabama's weaknesses to be exploited, they have to face teams with the type of weapons and talent that can exploit them. Clemson has that talent and weapons to exploit them. And if Jake Fromm can throw for 300 yards against Alabama, then Trevor Lawrence can throw for 300 yards against Alabama. As long as Clemson can protect him. As long as Clemson can protect him. And that may be what decides it on the other side. Because again, I think that is that issue. If Clemson cannot effectively run the ball, and I don't see Clemson effectively running the ball early, if Clemson cannot effectively run the ball, it will be more difficult to protect Trevor Lawrence. And that's why, again, I think pressure release plays could become a factor, and perhaps even the tendency break of ETN and screen passes in the passing game. You know, I think all those things are possible. I think we're headed for a really entertaining national championship game. I don't think it's necessarily always going to be a thing of beauty. I don't think it will necessarily have the offensive rhythm that the two national championship games between Clemson and Alabama had. I think the offense in this game could come more as a result of big plays and less as a result of consistently moving the ball in small chunks, because it really, these two teams are both built that way. Forget it. Forget these two teams being both built that way. That's the way the game is built now. You don't find teams driving the ball 80 yards in small chunks anymore. If you can't produce a 30-yard play on an average drive, guess what? There's not going to be a drive. You know, it may be a field goal, but you don't see teams moving the ball in that manner. And I think it's going to be extremely hard to move the ball on either one of these defenses in that manner. And so if you think that there's going to be some ball control element here, where one team, you know, takes the ball and goes 80 yards on 14 plays and has the ball for 7.5 minutes, think again, because that's not happening. I think that the offense will be more spurty in that regard. I think it will be more big play oriented. And I think both teams are susceptible on the back end to big plays, which is why it's going to be essential for both teams to stuff the run and to pressure the opponent's quarterback. That's how I see it. And I could wait for tomorrow, but I mean, I basically already indicated it. I am not confident in what I'm about to say, because again, I think the two teams are very much equals right now. I don't disagree that Alabama should be the favorite, but I think that there's a belief that Tua is healthier than he is, and I think Clemson is the perfect team to affect him and to challenge his health. And I think Clemson's going to be able to do that. I think Clemson's going to win the game. I think Clemson's going to win. I'm going to call it 31-28 in favor of Clemson. I think it's in that range. Again, you know, if Alabama wins this game and it's that type of football game, and some Alabama fan wants to come back on Monday and say, or Tuesday and say, you had it wrong. Okay, I've had it wrong. I've had the game right, though. I can promise you that. The things that you heard on the show today, watch for them to happen. Watch how they develop in that game. To me, as I said already, I wouldn't bet $5 on it, because I respect both teams enough and their respective strengths to think that this is going to be an absolute war. That's what you're going to have. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. It's probably going to come down to one or two plays. But the bottom line for me is, I think Clemson has a slight edge based on the emotion of what happened in last year's game. Alabama had a little edge last year, you know, an edge from losing, mm-hmm. that they carried with them. I think Clemson will have that same little edge. Again, this is not to suggest Alabama won't be jacked up to play. They're going to be jacked up to play, especially early. But I think that the bottom line for me is that I believe that Clemson has the perfect ingredients to affect Tua Tagovailoa and to add to his injury woes, and to move him. And I think all those things will allow Clemson to, if not dictate terms, at least keep Tua under control. Again, not contain. I think that's not the game plan. The game plan is to hit him and to get after him. That's what I believe. Dave and Greg, I'll get to you as soon as we come back. We are live from Twin Peaks. We have one segment left in the show. You can come hang out with us at Twin Peaks. Let me tell you about Simmons Mattress Outlet before we get a break. Simmons Mattress Outlet, World of Sleep in the old Walmart building in Seneca. Up to 13,000 mattresses from which to choose. Up to 75% off every single day. That's the Simmons Mattress Outlet World of Sleep. There's nothing like it. Trust me. Mattresses, look, sleep influences every element of your life. Your productivity, your civility. Start enjoying life. Start to get a better night's sleep. You know who you are. You wake up, your back hurts, your neck hurts. You know how you're feeling. Change the way you're feeling. Get a better night's sleep. It's never been more affordable or more attainable. It's the Simmons Mattress Outlet World of Sleep, the old Walmart building in Seneca. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Discover the performance and excitement of driving a Maserati Ghibli. Experience the powerful twin-turbocharged V6 engine, 8-speed automatic and available Q4 intelligent all-wheel drive, unmatched Italian style. The 2018 Ghibli is the opposite of ordinary. Now you can lease a 2018 Ghibli for just $759 per month for 36 months. Maserati Greenville, located at 1450 Lawrence Road, or go online at MaseratiGreenville.com or speak with them at 255-3953.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented poly-level process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
The Mattress Outlet in Seneca would like to invite you to shop our end-of-the-year sale. From now until January 5th, save an additional percentage off our already low prices, and you still get your box spring free. And that's not all. For a limited time, if you purchase a premium queen or full-size mattress, you qualify to get an adjustable base for free. Don't miss out on these incredible deals. The end-of-the-year sale at Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located off Highway 123 in Seneca, across from Chick-fil-A.
Another year has come and gone, and if you are ready to ring in the new year with a new look, Urban Nirvana is the place to be. Their professional stylists can give you a look that makes you feel your best, and when you feel your best, you can tackle anything. The spa is the place to start your new year off with a kind of refreshing, relaxing rejuvenation that can change your outlook. Get ready for the new year with Urban Nirvana. Two locations, MacBee Station and the Shops at Greenridge, or online at urbannirvana.com.
Get ready. It's time. Time for the South Carolina International Auto Show, January 11th through the 13th at the Greenville Convention Center. See hundreds of the hottest new cars, trucks, SUVs, luxury vehicles, and more, all in a non-selling environment. Test drive vehicles right at the show. You can't do that online. Kids even have their own test drive area, courtesy of Citgo, our official fuel sponsor. It's the South Carolina International Auto Show, the 11th through the 13th. Discounts available at the UPS store, Spinks, or go to SouthCarolinaAutoShow.com.
Don't miss Macy's One Day Sale with over 25,000 deals of the day in-store and online, like women's wool blend and down coats 60% off and boots and cold weather shoes 50% off. You'll love designer pillows at just $6.99. Plus, take 20% plus an extra 15% off blenders, juicers, and food processors. And plan the vacay with 65% off luggage closeout Friday and Saturday at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards now offers perks everyone can love, no matter how they pay. Sign up for free in-store or at Macy's.com/StarRewards.
Hey, Clemson fans, check out gspairport.com about direct flights to San Jose, California. Delta and American Airlines have added nonstop flights for the national championship game against Alabama. Go to gspairport.com to learn more. Go Tigers and GSP Airport.
No one's better than Walt Deptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
I'm sorry, I'm still passive-aggressively ignoring you.
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Tiptula Red Range. We're at WCCP 105.5 The Roar, live from Twin Peaks, home of the 28-degree draft beer, beautiful women, 80 high-definition monitors, and the food is the biggest surprise of the whole deal. I'd recommend the venison chili since it's like 40 and rainy and wet outside. It's a sort of chilly kind of night. Come on out and hang out with the show. We are live at Twin Peaks. Let me get to Dave on the Northline Communication Lines. Dave, how are you?
Yeah, doing well, Walt. How are you? Love your show and Ramona's voice coming across the airwaves here.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
A couple of points, and I'll hang up and take them off air. You know, earlier in the show, you were talking about ETN, you know, possibly taking 8 carries up the middle for 0 yards and busting one for 70, but we got to get the ball in his hands. Do you see that more in a from a screen standpoint or a wheel route out into the flats? That's question one. And two, you know, picking on Bama's secondary, you know, you mentioned Fromm threw for 300. I don't know how many other quarterbacks threw for that much. But, you know, we got picked apart by a whole lot less talented quarterback in the South Carolina game. And so just wondering, I see the two teams as being very similar. And I'll take your thoughts on how you see Bama playing against our secondary and what weaknesses they may see and what they may pick on. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. No, look, that's an enormous issue. That's why Clemson has to pressure Tua. Because if Tua is allowed to sit there in the pocket and your goal is just to contain him and he sits there in his spot, he's going to kill Clemson on the back end. Kill him. I mean, for that reason. I mean, Alabama has 4 talented receivers. 3 receivers and Smith, the tight end, who is basically a big wide receiver. So if you let Tua have time to throw the ball and you don't hurt him and you don't injure him, there's no way. There's no way the Clemson back end can cover him. Just isn't. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to pretend that there is. It's impossible. It can't happen. You have mismatches there. Again, Tony Elliott's Where's Waldo? Clemson has Waldos. This is not disparaging the talent. What it's saying is that Alabama has an area of strength that is deep enough to attack and exploit areas where particular personnel in Clemson's secondary is something other than their strength. All right. So in other words, if you can make those safeties cover guys who they're not born to cover, then you can exploit them. And that's what Alabama can do. Absolutely. Clemson has struggled with teams with 3 wide receivers late in the year. And I've pointed this out. And Alabama has 4. Alabama has 3 wide receivers and a really athletic, fast tight end. So Alabama has 4. So absolutely that's a concern. Absolutely there are going to be some big plays that Clemson gives up back there. But the bottom line is Clemson's best chance of impacting all that is to hit Tua Tagovailoa and to hurt him. I'm sorry. That's it. It's a man's game. This is the ultimate man's game. These are the 2 biggest bad A teams in all of college football, and they're going to try and inflict pain on each other for 4 hours Monday night. And the team that inflicts the most pain is probably going to win. It's a line of scrimmage game. It's a physical man's football game. That's what it is. That's what it is. And so, yeah, I mean, if Clemson treats Tua like Oklahoma treated Tua, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night, and Alabama's going to wind up with 50-plus points. That's not a recipe to win the game. The recipe to win the game is you go after Tua, you move him off his spot, you blitz him up the A-gaps, you try and collapse the pocket in his face, you do this while simultaneously beating guys off the edge, and so you meet him in the middle. And then you break him like a Thanksgiving wishbone. That's the recipe. Meanwhile, you can't let these receivers get free releases, particularly to the inside, because if you let the receivers get free releases to the inside, they're going to catch slants on the run, and that's going to be off to the races, just like it was against Oklahoma. So these receivers are 180 pounds. They're sophomores. They're not men. They're talented, but I think Clemson can impact them at the line of scrimmage if they choose to. And I think you can disrupt the timing of the Alabama passing game in so doing. The other thing was related to how do you get the ball to Etienne. Look, doesn't matter if it's screens or wheel routes or what it is. The reason for the screens is that I think Alabama is going to bring immense pressure early. I think they're going to be jacked up. It's going to be just like the Oklahoma game. I mean, they're going to be out for blood, cliche alert, and they're going to be coming early. Well, one of the ways you cool that is pressure release plays. And again, it's a tendency. It would be a tendency break because Clemson's not done it much this year. Etienne with just 10 catches on the year. So there's that. And I think that conceivably you could see that. I would not be surprised at all to see Etienne catch several passes in this game. And if it happens, I think it's most likely to happen early. Because late, I think there's a chance Alabama fatigues some up front. And that could be a factor for both teams. All right, John, we're out of here at 6:40 today, so I'm basically almost done. There are a couple. We've had 3.5 hours of solid Alabama Clemson talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of news and note items, and I wanted to talk a little NFL. Obviously, we'll get more into that tomorrow. But let's hit on a couple of those things.
First thing I saw was Manny Diaz has hired Major Applewhite to be his offensive coordinator.
Yeah. That rumor was out there yesterday, and at the time, I thought it was laughable. And now that it's done, I'm sorry, Miami. You have hired your fourth consecutive loser as a coach. There's just no other way. Major Applewhite is not an answer. How do we not understand this? Major Applewhite was fired at Houston because he couldn't run an offense. He brought in Kendall Briles to save him. Kendall Briles saved him. When Kendall Briles left, Houston said, oh, no, we don't want you. We saw what things look like with when you were in charge. And now you're going to turn your offense over to him and think that's going to make you better? I mean, it also appears that Major Applewhite, for whatever reason, lost control of his locker room in, at Houston. He certainly lost control of Ed Oliver.
No, absolutely.
I don't understand that hire. Yesterday there were some names floating about that I thought would have been great hires. I think Jake Spavital would have been a great hire. This is not a great hire. This is the type of hire a guy makes who doesn't know what he's doing. And that's what you've hired, Miami. You've hired a head coach who doesn't know what they're doing.
The trend continues.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
I saw that Brent Key, the offensive line coach from Alabama, is going to be joining Jeff Collins' staff at Georgia Tech.
Okay. What are they going to pay him with, an engineering education? I'm not sure I understand that. I mean, you don't see many guys go from Alabama to Georgia Tech in coaching. I know his background. I know he has the Tech background, but you got to pay him.
Right.
And presumably, you know, every Alabama coach that I'm aware of was making a fortune, and Georgia Tech paid their defensive coordinator about a couple $100,000 last year. You know, I don't know. That puzzles me as well. All right, next up.
I'm trying to find where it was, the thing we
next
were.
Next up, we have Reuben Foster.
That's right, yes.
Reuben Foster, you know, charges were dropped, dismissed. The case was dismissed against Reuben Foster. The woman whose name is her name Ennis or Emmis or what's her name?
Something along those lines, very close to that.
Her attorney is saying, you know, that basically this is a travesty of justice, that she's not being treated fairly again. I'm sorry, Mr. Attorney. There apparently is no evidence. There apparently is no evidence of her claim. Look, listen, Ramona, you know this. We've had this conversation about Reuben Foster before. Every single one of these, I give the woman the benefit of the doubt. Always, 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 always. The abuse of women by athletes is just atrocious, and it's at perhaps unparalleled levels. But in this particular case, when you have a woman who apparently falsely charged Reuben Foster before, and look, I'm sorry, all I have to go by is her recanting of her claims. All right, she tried to put him back in the bottle. She said he didn't do it, that she lied. She admitted it the first time. All right. Is it conceivable that Reuben Foster paid her off? Or there's some? Yes. Yes. But I can't jump to that conclusion. All I know is the woman lied. She admits she lied about the first time. Okay, I don't understand then why we'd go back to that same well with the same woman making the same charges again, unless there's pronounced physical evidence, which apparently there's none of. So, as of today, here's what I believe. I believe this woman is a liar. I believe we know that from her prior incident, and apparently there's no evidence in this case. Is Reuben Foster an abuser, beater of women? I don't know. Maybe. All I know is that there's no evidence of that here. And I'm sorry. The only evidence that exists in this particular case is that the woman herself admitted to lying. I'm sorry. Reuben gets to play football, and the Washington Redskins may have enacted a little bit of a coup, may have stole a really good player while everyone else slept on bogus charges. I mean, that's where I am with that today. I'm sorry. There's no other way to look at it, in my estimation, at this point. All right, John. I'm sorry. Who are your Pittsburgh Steelers playing? I looked for you on the schedule this week, and I couldn't find you.
Thankfully, they're done. Thankfully, I am done. I am so over them.
Okay, what do you want to do with Antonio Brown?
I trade him. If he wants to go to San Fran, let's go. I'll help him pack his bags.
He needs to go. You know,
it's done.
I wrote this earlier about Antonio Brown because Tomlin was asked, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the woman's name now, but Tomlin was asked, she had reported this.
Aditi Kinkabal, I think.
Yes. Tomlin was asked about whether a player, even as talented as Brown, can become too much of a distraction to be worth it. And he said, certainly, was his answer. And again, this goes back to me, to Terrell Owens.
Yep.
And I'm sorry. I'm going to say this again. I know it's not necessarily popular based on stats. There have been very few players in football history that were not worth their stats. Terrell Owens was the first. Antonio Brown may be another. And that is that, I'm sorry, Terrell Owens was never a Hall of Famer. You can put him there. He can cry. You put him there. You can move away from that time and place. You can say that if you want. But Terrell Owens was a monumental headache who impacted negatively every team he was on. Everyone knew it. I'm sorry, that trumps your frigging stats. If the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, can tell you that basically that he is at the point where he would rather be rid of this guy than have him, then is he a Hall of Fame player? Because his numbers indicate it. If a team like Pittsburgh says, we don't want you, it's just laughable to suggest that it is. Owens should not be in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't matter who says so, you're wrong. This guy has Hall of Fame numbers, does not belong in any Hall of Fame, because the Pittsburgh Steelers want to dump him. And the reason they want to dump him is because he's negatively impacting their football team. It's because they've sat there and they've learned it and they've felt it and they've seen it. And they've said to themselves, you know what? Which is more important to us? That we have his 100 catches for 1,500 yards or that we get rid of the distraction, which he is. And they apparently have come to the conclusion that they want to get rid of him. Do you understand what that means? It means that whatever his value is from a statistical standpoint, they have determined that the negative impact of having him around trumps that. All right, then stop your Hall of Fame crap. That's it. I've lost my voice, so it's really good timing. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. Our crowd has continued to grow at Twin Peaks. We're here, man. Come hang out with us. That's it. Clemson Lady Tigers basketball. I'll see you on tomorrow.
Guns, guns, guns. It's the Great American Gun Show at the Civic Center of Anderson this weekend. Buy, sell, trade, guns, knives, weapons of all kinds. Bring your guns, tell your friends. This weekend, January 5th and 6th, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. Tons of guns, knives, ammo, holsters, camo, shooting supplies, and more. Admission only $8, kids 12 and under free with paying adult. Don't miss this gun and knife extravaganza at the Civic Center of Anderson, 3027 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Anderson, South Carolina. Tell your friends, bring your guns this weekend. Be there.
Brock here with Tom's Barbecue to let you know about our catering services. Tom's Barbecue caters to many corporate events and wants to help your business boost morale with a great meal to guarantee that your employees leave work happier and fuller. Choose from any of our catering packages or pick a la carte from our menu. You will even receive 25% off of your first order when you mention WCCP. So what are you waiting for? Call 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Big O Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the Motor Mile.
Checking in with Jana Candler, Realtor Extraordinaire with Berkshire Hathaway C. Dan Joyner. Jana, what do you think you've learned since becoming a realtor?
I've learned that